She was waiting too. She realised that she was waiting for the Nac Mac Feagles, hoping against hope that she'd hear a sudden cry, even of Crivens. She was sure it was a swear word. She pulled out the toad, which lay snoring on the palm of her hand, and gave it a prod.
What?
It croaked. I'm stuck in a wood of evil dreams, and I'm all alone, and I think it's getting darker, said Tiffany. What should I do? The toad opened one bleary eye and said, Leave. That is not a lot of help.
Best advice there is, said the toad. Now put me back, the cold makes me lethargic.
Reluctantly, Tiffany put the creature back in her apron pocket, and her hand touched diseases of the sheep. She pulled it out and opened it at random. There was a cure for the steams, but it had been crossed out in pencil. Written in the margin in Granny Aching's big, round, careful handwriting was, This don't work. One dessert spoonful of turpentine do. Tiffany closed the book with care and put it back gently so as not to disturb the sleeping toad. Then, gripping the pan's handle tightly, she stepped into the long blue shadows. How do you get shadows when there's no sun in the sky, she thought, because it was better to think about things like this than all the other much worse things that were on her mind. But these shadows didn't need light to create them. They crawled around on the snow of their own accord and backed away when she walked towards them. That, at least, was a relief. They piled up behind her. They were following her. She turned and stamped her foot a few times, and they scurried off behind the trees, but she knew they were flowing back when she wasn't looking. She saw a drome in the distance ahead of her, standing half hidden behind a tree. She screamed at it and waved the pan threateningly, and it lumbered off quickly. When she looked round, she saw two more behind her, a long way back. The track led uphill a little, into what looked like a much thicker mist. It glowed faintly. She headed for it. There was no other way to go. When she reached the top of the rise, she looked down into a shallow valley. There were four dromes in it, big ones, bigger than any she's seen so far. They were sitting down in a square, their dumpy legs stretched out in front of them. Each one had a gold collar around its neck, attached to a chain. Tame ones? Tiffany wondered aloud. But who could put a collar round the neck of a drome? Only someone who could dream as well as they could. We tamed the sheepdogs to help us herd sheep, she thought. The queen uses dromes to herd dreams. In the centre of the square formed by the dromes, the air was full of mist. The hoof tracks and the tracks of Roland led down past the tamed dromes and into the cloud. Tiffany spun around. The shadows darted back. There was nothing else nearby. No birds sang, nothing moved in the woods. But she could make out three more dromes now, their big, round, soggy faces peering at her around tree trunks. She was being herded now. At a time like this, it would be nice to have someone around to say something like, No, it's too dangerous, don't do it! Unfortunately, there wasn't. She was going to commit an act of extreme bravery, and no one would know if it all went wrong. That was frightening, but also annoying. That was it. Annoying. This place annoyed her. It was all stupid and strange. It was the same feeling she'd had when Jenny had leapt out of the river, out of her river, and the Queen had taken her brother. Maybe it was selfish to think like that, but anger was better than fear. Fear was a damp, cold mess, but anger had an edge. She could use it. They were herding her, like a sheep. Well, an angry sheep could send a vicious dog away whimpering. So, four big dromes sitting in a square. It was going to be a big dream. Raising the pan to shoulder height to swipe at anything that came near, and suppressing a dreadful urge to go to the toilet, Tiffany walked slowly down the slope, across the snow, through the mist, and into summer. Chapter 10 Masterstroke. The heat struck like a blowlamp, so sharp and sudden that she gasped. She'd had sunstroke once, up on the downs, when she'd gone without a bonnet. And this was like that. The world around her was in worrying shades of dull green, yellow and purple, without shadows. The air was so full of heat that she felt she could squeeze smoke out of it. She was in reeds, they looked like, much taller than her,
with sunflowers growing in them except the sunflowers were white, because